Welcome to Pour It Out. I'm Haley.
And I'm Brandy. Thanks for being with us this week. We are thrilled to welcome two special guests for episode 11 of Pour It Out. Tonight, we're sitting down with Lauren and Megan, best friends and physician's assistant, Nuova Med Spa, to talk about all things beauty and skincare.
Lauren, Megan, welcome to Pour It Out.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited.
We're so thrilled to have you guys. So we start off each episode by saying what we're pouring it out with. So Brandy and I tonight are drinking Trader Joe's mocktails. We've got a little sparkling pomegranate juice with a rosemary.
Yum.
Love that.
Super good. So fancy.
Fizz the season.
I'm having poppy cherry lime. It's one of my favorite nighttime mocktails.
Love it. Did y'all ever get into the skinny girl mocktail trend with the poppy?
I got into mixing it with magnesium.
Yeah.
I was on a very big tart cherry magnesium poppy mocktail that I did for a long time. And then they told me how much sugar was in cranberry juice. So I tried
to. Even in the tart cherry?
That's what I meant. Tart cherry has so much sugar in it. So I actually skipped that. And now I use this like powdered magnesium form instead. But yes, I did that for a very long time.
I have stuff in my pantry to do it, but I haven't like jumped to doing it yet.
It's delicious. I mean, I highly recommend.
Good to know.
I feel like it helped you sleep.
Yes. The magnesium powder I take. I mean, I take magnesium now every night, but it was fun to just like mix the powder in and do a little drink at nighttime.
It's fun.
Fun.
I have my water with electrolytes. I'm preparing for training tomorrow, so just trying to get hydrated. Awesome. I did have a glass of wine prior to this, though.
Good for you. Okay, well, before we get into it, we would love for each of you to introduce yourselves and give us a little background on the two of you, and then we'll jump into some questions.
Yes, perfect. I'll start. I'm Lauren. I have been an aesthetic injector now for 4 years. I started at Tallahassee Plastic Surgery Clinic back in 21. Oh my goodness. So in 2021, I am originally from Alabama and moved to Tallahassee 8 years ago, and I've been here ever since.
I'm Megan. I moved to Tallahassee in 2020 and quickly started at Tallahassee Plastic Surgery Clinic. So it's been about 5 years. And, you know, plastics, aesthetics kind of combined, and I have never looked back. I've been loving working in aesthetics. Originally from Orlando, went to PA school in Charleston, so kind of been around everywhere, but Tallahassee is certainly home now. So I love working with Lauren.
She's the best.
It is so nice.
If you don't follow their social media, we will tag the handles because their social media is very comical.
Yes, it's like the best to work with your best friend, you know, just playing off each other, being able to go to someone and then having a relationship outside of work can be tough sometimes, right? Like, but it's such a unique experience that we're both really grateful for.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been fun. We can kind of relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys become friends through working together?
Yes. Yes,
honestly, I think we ended up meeting at the pool before we ever started working together, Meg.
Yeah, we did.
Like, Megan and I lived in the same apartment complex, and right before I started, we saw each other at the pool, or like maybe right when I started. So anyways, we lived very close to one another, and our friendship certainly did not, I feel like, start in aesthetics, because we really did not get big into aesthetics and injecting until probably like a year or two into our working relationship. So we definitely,
I would say, like, I feel like aesthetics as a whole, like at Nevo, at Tallahassee Plastic Surgery Clinic, has really been within the past year and a half.
2 years probably. Yeah. Honestly, since my wedding, came from my wedding and we were like, okay, let's do it.
Yes. But before that, like she said, we lived in the same apartment complex, and then it was so nice to just have, I mean, we're pretty much the same age. We just gravitate towards each other with everything. So that definitely like gave us that catapult into a friendship. But
That's awesome. So, okay, so a few weeks ago, y'all had the grand opening for Nouveau. So tell us a little bit about the concept to open Nouveau, like outside of Tallahassee Plastic Surgery, and what it was like designing it and kind of what that process was like.
It kind of, again, like all started a couple of years ago when Megan and I really kind of like came together and we were like, okay, let's kind of really catapult this. Like we were very interested in aesthetics. There was a big kind of gap, we feel like, in the community. And so we really just started sharing a lot and really kind of dove into aesthetics and tried to transition our practice, at least what we did, away from plastics and more into the aesthetic injecting side. And it really just grew from there. It grew really quickly. And so we ran out of space, essentially. We were working with three other surgeons and one other injector and just were on top of each other, running out of space. And so we kind of kept pushing and kept pushing until finally we were finally able to make it happen.
Yeah, there was a big collaboration between, of course, us, our medical director, Dr. Predis. You know, Nouveau is a branch of Tallahassee Plastic Surgery Clinic. So it was the help of a lot of people, lots of great hands in the pot, our really great friend Krista. And so with those people, with running out of space, Nouveau was kind of birthed. And just like, we're so happy how it turned out. So Nouveau means new. And it's just definitely been a refreshing, like, it's a breath of fresh air for our patients. They can come. It's a safe space. They know that they're going to be catered to and treated with innovative products, treatments. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming. We're so grateful and happy about the space. If there's one thing that you want to know, if you're ever opening your own space, is that you can never have enough storage areas. So, you know, there's always trials and tribulations with anything, but for the most part, it has come so far, and everyone, the plastic surgeons that we work with, us, Sharon, the other injector, have just been so happy with how things have turned out and having a great space to inject and provide really great quality care to like the people of Tallahassee.
Absolutely.
Well, it's beautiful. So congratulations.
Thank you. And I know what it's like to create that creative space too. So I know that a lot of hard work was put into it. So it's very, very beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So back in the spring, y'all put up a post on social media. It's kind of how we started following y'all. But it said, stop shaming your friends who get Botox. Why do you think talking about injections and beauty procedures is so taboo? And what can we do as a society to normalize the conversation?
That was such a fun post that we did. We had the best time like making those signs and getting out in our parking lot.
That was probably one of our most fun favorite posts. I had that pinned to my profile for a while.
Yes.
You know, this is a great question. Lauren and I really try to normalize injectables as best we can. It's almost like what we're having for lunch, right? It's like Botox is normal. Having a tuna sandwich, whatever you want for lunch is normal. So we're vocal about that. We believe in practicing safe and quality care. And I think the more we educate people about how natural Botox and filler can be, the easier it gets and the more normalized they get. There's definitely a fear around injectables and it's really hard, right? With like social media, TikTok, and Instagram, there's a lot of fear mongering around injectables and what can happen. But typically we're seeing the worst case scenario and a lot of people are walking around with the best case scenario, which is usually undetectable.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, yeah, I know Lauren agrees with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the biggest thing that we see in our practice is just the fear of looking unnatural. Mm-hmm. And also we live in a society, I feel like, where Botox came out like 20 plus years ago. And I think about what was going on 20 years ago, you know, I'm thinking about my mom and what age she was. And I grew up in the South and like things were just not talked about, you know? And so Tallahassee is a very small town, like small town vibe. And they kind of carry a lot of that tradition with it of keeping things very just like not secret, but just very close and private. And this is one of those things that, like, if I ask you, like, what lipstick you have on, I want you to be able to tell me. And same thing when it comes to injectables, I think it's just kind of sharing, you know, who we're seeing, who we're going to with our friends and with our family, just to just make it, I mean, more normalized, like you said, because at the end of the day, most of us are all doing it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are not just rubbing olive oil on our face and calling it, you know, and calling it skincare. Yeah. Or, you know, Martha Stewart, who looks freaking amazing at 80. Like, it is not just your horse riding girlfriend. Like,
yes, exactly.
Nope. Let's talk about it. Yeah, it's funny because I was having a conversation with one of my good friends recently about how, yeah, on social media and TikTok especially, like, so many people have had work done, but it's been, you know, lip filler is such a thing now and Botox is such a thing. Like, you look at all these people and you know they've had work done.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it doesn't look bad, but it's getting to a point that, like, oh, people that have lip filler, like, that looks normal to us now because it's been such a thing for so long. So yeah, why don't we talk about it?
Right.
Yeah, like, I think, so I recently saw Wicked and Ariana Grande, I couldn't stop staring at her lips. And I think she's claimed that she has no injection. So her lips actually look great, but I just, like, as an injector, I know that she's had lip filler. And I think she's claimed, just like Paris Hilton, that they've had nothing done. And I'm like, girlfriend, you look great. Like, we all think you look great. Like, let's just, and I think that's also where it comes from is people truly are believing that these celebrities like J-Lo are literally using olive oil. Right. And so they're like, oh my gosh, I need to do that. Or she doesn't get Botox, so I must, you know, Botox must not be right for me. And in reality, it just all stems from a misunderstanding, as does anything, right? And just like with fitness or eating healthy, you can overdo something. And so I think our main objective is just to educate, because education definitely allows for sort of an open discussion on what does this really look like? What can you actually benefit from? And what's important to you, and what can we do for you to make you look as natural as possible?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a really great point too, is that I think that there is some fear of, you see people that have gotten work that it is overdone. So I think, yeah, having those discussions with y'all of how can I do this, but still maintain a natural look and not get to a point where you overdo it. And that's what the conversation's for.
Generational thing too, because I know my mom is like, oh my gosh, you're getting Botox. And they just immediately think that you're just walking around looking like crazy, because that's what they're used to. And I was like, well, it's not necessarily the same, and products are just different, and it's come such a long way.
Has. And I think our generation is going to have a really, like, good opportunity to do anti-aging very well, because, you know, the 60-year-olds were catching Botox right when it came out, or the 70-year-olds were catching it right when they came out. And now, you know, our patients in their late 20s, early 30s are doing all of these treatments. And so I feel like doing them, like you said, Haley, like, how do we do it naturally? It's kind of like doing little sprinkles here and there, going nice and slow when it comes to filling or doing filler, doing Botox sporadically, you know, every 4 to 5 months or so. And, like, that's how we're going to anti-age, I think, out of the best generation for sure. And just doing it very tastefully.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So on the doing it tastefully front, what would you say to somebody that is interested in getting a chemical peel, but that is scared about the side effects? So, like, in my mind, when you think about getting a chemical peel, you think about somebody that's super red, that looks like, you know, their face hurts really bad, that, you know, it's super harsh. Is that the only alternative, or what can you do? Is there a milder option? Walk us through some different options for peels.
It reminds me of Samantha Jones from Sex and the City, right? Like, when she walks on, you know, walks in with the black veil.
And I think that's what everybody kind of thinks.
Yeah. That there definitely is a level of downtime when it comes to anything, right? Like, you can have a chemical peel just like she did on Sex and the City and walk out and scare everybody. You know, we have really deep TCA peels that they will put people to sleep for, and that's certainly going to have a lot of downtime versus having a very mild, like, lunchtime peel is like what we used to call them, or what probably people still do call them, which is just a kind of lactic acid peel. So that's really not going to give you a whole lot of peeling, maybe a little bit of dryness. And kind of, I think what our favorite thing is, at least now that lasers have come out, is like laser peels or cool peels. I know Megan has the same thought, is we prefer the downtime of laser peels to chemical peels a lot more now. Just like with our skin types, we're both kind of acne prone. And so chemical peels can sometimes cause some purging and, you know, just things that we've noticed as we've tried things, that we both really prefer a laser peel or a cool peel.
Yeah, I think that was a great question, because that's typically a question that someone will come in and ask, like, okay, I want a chemical peel. My best friend down the road got a chemical peel, so I want one to like tell me which one I should get. And there's so many options. Like Lauren said, there's tiers, and there's levels of downtime. So like she said, there can be anything from no downtime to like you're actually peeling, right? And then there's a cool peel, which is a CO2 laser, which Lauren and I prefer. And there's also levels for that. I think a CO2 laser is great because the theme of our office, or anyone that comes in, is collagen stimulation. I feel like if you look on our Instagram or if you hear us talk, it's collagen stimulation. How do we stimulate collagen? And so a CO2 laser is so great because you can get the benefits of a chemical peel. So light exfoliation, baby soft skin, just skin rejuvenation with some collagen stimulation. So that's like killing two birds with one stone. And that's why we are so proactive in treating a lot of our patients with that. We start to lose 1% of collagen like in our early 30s, late 20s. So anyone can typically benefit from some collagen stimulation. You'll have a little bit more downtime with this when we add that extra layer on. As far as redness, swelling, like Lauren said, there's always going to be levels. So that's why a consultation is so key. That's why we love a consultation. I think that like we can both agree that's like one of our favorite things, is just sitting down, going over skincare, going over what exactly you want to achieve, and then building a plan from there.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's awesome. I think that those are some of my, you know, more fun appointments, is just kind of getting to know people and talking. And like, it's such a fun, like 45 minutes to an hour that we spend with patients, just kind of like gathering goals and like what you want to achieve in the next year or 2 years, because sometimes that's how long plans can take. Mm-hmm. So.
I know that when I went in for a consultation earlier this year, it was one of my favorite things that I had sat down and done in a long time. I learned so much about just the products that were available, because I was kind of one of those that was like, oh, this girl down the street I know got a peel. I loved her results.
Yeah.
And so I scheduled a consultation, and the things that I learned and then the products that I ended up using, I still use today. And it has truly made such a difference in my skin. But something that I didn't really know about peels that you guys really talk through is the timing of the year when you get peels, because you're out in the sun more. You know, you want to time that right. Can you guys talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Technically, I mean, like, we do peels all year round, but like true laser peel season, cool peel season, chemical peel season typically falls, at least when you live in like Florida, I would say in the fall, winter months. I love to get a really like good laser treatment to get rid of sun damage once we get into this October, November timeframe. And then kind of in like into February, March, like right before springtime rolls back around, you kind of like get to just like erase away all of the kind of summer heat and, you know, just start fresh. And it kind of goes into like starting a new year. You start a new year with like this fresh new skin and like kind of just sets you up for the rest of the year. So I say to my patients, plan to do a laser treatment. If you're starting a series, like certainly we'll finish out the series, which typically is one session every 4 to 6 weeks for 2 to 3, I would probably say 2 to 3 sessions. And then for maintenance, try to just have a laser treatment done once a year in those kind of fall, winter months.
Yeah, that was so helpful for me, because like I said, I had no idea there was such thing as a peel season. So yeah. Now I can kind of plan out when I need one.
Florida is a hard area to, you know, state to have things in because it just gets so hot. And we do have seasons in terms of just being 90 and UV index of 10 versus,
right.
You know, this week it's very cold. So it's safer to do it in the fall, winter. And that's why we like to call it a laser season. If I trust a patient enough, can yes. they have something aggressive in June and promise me that they are going to be diligent about their post-procedure care and avoiding the sun? Absolutely. I think Lauren and I, we did our very first moderate to aggressive CO2 in like March, April. And, yeah. you know, in Florida, that's a decent amount where it's getting hotter. So, and I think we started Morpheus like in the summer. So it depends on who the patient is. But yeah, Brandy, overall, I would say there's seasons for a reason. And it makes us feel better as like practitioners to be like, okay, we can trust that they're not going to be on the boat this weekend.
Right.
My part two of what y'all said on back to the collagen front.
Yeah.
You know, how... Megan, to your point of how quickly as we age that we lose collagen, aside from a peel or anything in office, is there anything over the counter that y'all would recommend patients use to kind of beef up their collagen intake?
I take collagen supplements. And so I tell my patients that certainly that's something that can help. So I take 15 to 20 milligrams of collagen a day. And it's just like a little scoop of powder. And so I certainly tell my patients like that it's beneficial. You know, it's helping with a lot of other collagen breakdown that's happening in the body. One of my favorite, it's over the counter in the form that it's not an injectable and it's not a service, is plated exosomes. I mean, we love them. They're mm-hmm. pricey, mm-hmm. but as far as what's out there on the market that you can actually put on your face mm-hmm. to stimulate collagen and elastin, the studies,
yeah, they're mind blowing.
Mayo are amazing. Yep. They improved collagen production by like 85% with just wow. a topical product.
Yep.
And to put that into perspective, it's like you lose about 1% per year. So you're almost fully replacing that by using that product before you do any sort of like treatment or put a needle into your face.
Completely agree. I knew she was going to say plated. I almost wanted to say it at the same time. And then I know Lauren will agree with me on this. Over-the-counter sunscreen every day because it's not going to damage or degrade your DNA and your collagen. And so, again, we are just firm believers. If you can do anything, just put some sunscreen on, especially because we live in Florida. A lot of your concerns skin-wise will get better, or you won't see them progress so rapidly in your 40s and 50s. We love collagen. All the collagen.
Collagen sunscreen. It's definitely like, I think, the theme of both of our platforms.
Yes.
Hey, and those are really easy things to do.
Very. They are. They are easy. Plated is a little bit expensive, but yeah. Again, with the research they've done in the science that is behind it, it's worth every penny.
I'll say I incorporated both of those products when I met with Lauren, and the results that I saw were truly amazing.
If you are looking for budget-friendly options, like if you take out injectables, take out lasers, plated is actually, you know, a budget-friendly option because it's going to last you for at least a little bit longer. And it is a lower price point than our injectable kind of offerings are.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we love about your social media is how you use the platforms as a teaching tool. Injections can truly make such a difference. So let's talk about different ways injections can improve your skin non-invasively that people may not realize.
Oh, that's such a fun, I feel like, topic.
Yeah, I think that's something we've even mentioned throughout this podcast. Education is so important. It's important to let your patient know what they can expect, what they're going to go through. And then I think it makes your job a little bit easier when someone follows you on Instagram and is being educated through that platform. They come in with maybe less questions or they have more detailed questions, so you're able to answer it. But speaking on that, most, you know, skin benefits, Botox is a great one. You know, we talked about skincare, so skincare is the easiest way to up the ante. But Botox is just a game changer as far as smoothing out any sort of imperfections on your skin. Most popular areas would be the forehead, between the eyebrows and around the eyes. Some sneaky areas are, you know, anything for TMJ. You can use Botox for TMJ. You can use Botox.
I can support that. I get that.
Yes.
Great. It makes
you it's a game changer.
Game changer.
And you get a little facial kind of slimming at the same time. So it's like a win-win. And you get a little contouring. So Megan and I can both say that we have benefited from some masseter and TMJ Botox when it comes to facial slimming.
Yes. I feel like you kill two birds with one stone.
I feel like that's like an area that is not very assuming. So if you have a rounder face, so when it comes to like beauty standards, if we're talking about what is the most feminine face, it's certainly an oval or a heart shape face. We talk about the triangle of youth, which is kind of like an upside down triangle where your cheekbones and your chin are kind of the main highlights. And then as we age into kind of like 40s and beyond, that will kind of change into a right side up triangle where now like the corners become like the heaviness. And so if you have a rounder face, kind of getting some masseter Botox can help to kind of give you that oval shape back. And that's where we really kind of talk a lot about filler injections and restoring that volume, because the reason that we start to have that laxity and gelling is really because of volume loss and fat loss. And so using filler, which is hyaluronic acid, to give us volume back in those areas can kind of restore that face shape.
I think that that's why this was like such an important question for us, because even like the research we've done, but like even in getting to know y'all, like there are so many things that filler and Botox can do that, like to your point, Lauren, are like so unassuming that doesn't mean you have to go under the knife. Like you don't have to go get some super invasive surgery. But I don't feel like a lot of people know that. Like we were even talking when we went to dinner that like I want more jawline definition. Y'all were like, oh, get Botox in your chin. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's such a like crazy thing, like to see some of the transformations just from Botox alone. And for some reason, and I totally get it because we've talked about a little bit of the fear around it, Botox is a lot more just like for patients, it's a lot easier to just do that. You know, it doesn't last. It's not permanent. It's going to go away in about, you know, 4 months or so. And so adding some Botox to the lower face is a huge game changer. It's a game changer for us, our patients. So again, some more of unassuming areas besides the masseters, the chin, the corners of the mouth. We love to do some Nefertiti neck lifts, which is along the platysma muscle, which is that big muscle in your neck. And actually, Botox just got the first FDA approval for the platysma bands in the neck, which is huge.
Yeah.
Been doing it for a while, but like it's nice that the FDA finally is like on board with some neck treatment. But it's a great way to change and to enhance, I would say, the facial shape.
I was going to mention the neck because I feel like not a lot of people think, sometimes it never even crosses their mind that that may be what is aging them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And I think people think like, oh, I have to get a neck lift for that.
Right. And like, so we have a conversation about that, especially like my 50s and beyond. We talk about realistic expectations of what is this going to do? And a lot of times we do talk about surgery. And sometimes that's a patient's best option. But even if they don't choose that, we have so many tools that we can certainly improve upon.
Yeah. And like a little bit off topic, but a little bit of a plug is that I will always, of course, because I work there, but what better place to get your injectables in a place that also has plastic surgeons? Because that's a very real thing when people come in, they're in their 50s, they're in their 60s. Their main concern is nasolabial fold, jowl, neck. The injectables are a beautiful and wonderful thing that we can absolutely use to enhance, but they're not a facelift or a neck lift. And so that's where we need to be real. I think Lauren and I do a great job at painting that picture of what's realistic and then what's not. And sometimes it's not realistic, but other times people will be very upfront and they're like, hey, I want to know the pros and cons to both. I am not opposed to surgery. So tell me like if I need it or what you can do with injectables. You know, Lauren painted a great picture of Botox. It can do wonderful things to the lower face. And briefly, like, you know, we talked about filler, but it is non-invasive as well. It does such a great job at giving us back that triangle of youth. A chin will go so far. I can speak for Lauren too, in that chin filler is one of our favorite things. A little bit of chin filler, a sneaky amount of cheek filler, and you're sort of a new person in the best way, right? Like, we're still undetectable, we're still natural, but we've enhanced some features, we've brought back some volume loss. It's just great for adding that profile, a little bit of forward approach, and it does wonders.
I want to kind of switch gears to skincare for people that like maybe are still a little fearful of getting injectables or, you know, anything like that. And Brandy and I talk about this all the time. We've talked about it on the podcast that the internet can be, it's such a great resource, but it can also be super overwhelming because there's so much information out there now that trying to decipher like what's actually good or what's actually needed versus what's overkill can be super overwhelming. And I would say on the skincare front as well, like so many serums and so many trends, especially with TikTok, right? Like everything's viral now and everything. So trying to decipher like, okay, what's actually good for my skin and what's like, oh, that's, you know, that's fluff, that's a trend. So what would you say for like a staple nighttime routine? What are y'all's like three favorite, like this is absolutely like something that I would use?
I think if we're including cleansing, we'll say double cleanse for sure. I mean, that goes for everybody, no matter like age or concern, is like take all your makeup off first. I, you know, will use a gentle cleanser or an oil cleanser, and that just helps to remove all the makeup, SPF, and then you're kind of starting. Now you can go in and cleanse again with like an active cleanser. So use whatever cleanser is great for your skin type. You know, in the summer, sometimes I'll use foaming. In the winter, I'm going to use some like, you know, a gentle or like creamy one, but use kind of double cleanse to just, that way your products can get in there. And then for me, it's going to be a retinol, like, or a retinoid. I use a 0.25 retinoid that is by Skin Better. I love it. It's very tolerable. All of my patients can use it without a lot of irritation, which for me is huge, and a good moisturizer. And I think like that's keeping it super simple. The retinoid is like the superstar. It is the best anti-aging hack that outside of sunscreen that you can do for sure.
Yeah, we have this motto. It's called the Big Three. I feel like we came up with it, but maybe we didn't. our Big Three, like a way to keep things incredibly simple, is remember vitamin C, retinol, and SPF. Like those are your gold standard. Those will build you the most simple but most powerful regimen. And so, speaking on a morning routine, since we just did night, it would be a simple cleanser, and we can go through drugstore options as well. There's always going to be a save versus a splurge, but a simple cleanser, a vitamin C, maybe a moisturizer, depending on your skin type. It's all about that. And then a sunscreen and you're done. So yes. Lauren and I very much so believe in that. That is our staple. If anyone comes in and has a consult, if they're not on those three, that's where we start. We know that things can be overwhelming. I walk into Sephora, even in their skincare section, even though I have all of my options, I'm like, oh, do I need that? Like, what is that? Like, I love TikTok. I'm like, oh, like, you know, what are all these things? Do I need to be doing this collagen mask? So I think if you just have it in your head of the necessities are vitamin C, retinol, SPF, let's branch out from there. Once you have the basics done, then that will keep things extremely simple for you.
Absolutely.
And no, I think that's such great advice because I think too, you know, Megan, exactly what you just said, you walk into stores and you get overwhelmed. Or on TikTok, so many influencers have become product pushers too. So it's really like, okay, are you using that and telling us to use it because you believe in it or because you're getting paid to use it?
Exactly.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I love TikTok and I love all of the creators on there, but Neutrogena pays a ton of money. a ton. And so many of these, you know, over-the-counter brands pay these content creators a ton of money to share. And so you do have to be a little bit skeptical. There are some products, of course, that we love that are over-the-counter, but a lot of them, at least when it comes to those two main active ingredients, I say, like, save your money, splurge on vitamin C and retinoid, and fill in the rest with, you know, over-the-counter or drugstore options.
Kind of piggybacking off of that question, like, if someone can't afford, you know, expensive skincare,
yeah,
what are some of your favorite drugstore items? Maybe the easier ones are cleanser and moisturizer, because it sounds like that the other ones are kind of the ones that you need to make a bigger investment on.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love La Roche-Posay. It's the blue and white bottle. I feel like people are very familiar with it. They have a great cleanser. They have a great moisturizer. It's very similar to kind of our Trio Luxe that we love by Skin Better, and Triple Lipid by SkinCeuticals. They have such a great triple moisturizer. Mm-hmm. They have a great hyaluronic acid serum. So I really steer people to that brand if they're looking for drugstore options. I think CeraVe and Cetaphil are great options as well when it comes to gentle, non-comedogenic cleansers and moisturizers. And then, like you said, Brandy, like, saving your money, investing in a good quality vitamin C and retinoid. Skin Better's retinoid, if you buy a 50 ml bottle, it's like 275 pumps. And you only need one pump a day. Like, that's almost you are buying like 1.5 bottles per year. So, and you're really getting 19 antioxidants, amazing extrinsic and intrinsic free radical coverage. So in my mind, just like, save your money. Don't buy the drugstore vitamin C. Buy that. You'll almost have it for the whole year.
Yep, completely agree. And then just a few more. Naturium is a good one. And then Vanny Cream. Lauren and I both are for those. But like she said, save versus splurge. You're going to want those good quality, effective, strong molecules in your vitamin C and your retinol. And then, you know, with your cleanser, with your moisturizer, those are not necessarily active ingredients. And so those can be something over the counter.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a skin concern, like if it's acne, if it's rosacea, eczema, a lot of pigment concerns, melasma, then you definitely want to get with us or a dermatologist, because those are probably going to be some prescription strength things. Certainly, if you've tried over the counter, then it's probably not strong enough. And so we need to figure out a solution.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
So we've got one more question for you guys, and then we are going to play a fun little game.
Yay.
So the last question, Megan, I know you said when we started the episode, you were actually attending a training tomorrow. We know that training and education is really important to you guys. So are there any upcoming trends or anything in the skincare world that you guys can tell us about yet that you're excited that's coming down the pipes?
Oh, that's a great
question.
I feel like we talked about this a little bit going into 2024, but regenerative medicine is going to make a huge, just like, surge, I think, even going into 2025. So we talk about collagen stimulation a ton, but like, what does that look like? A lot of people, like we've talked about, fear or other reasons kind of shy away from Botox and filler. And so what's out there for anti-aging? A lot of regenerative medicine and biostimulation. So more kind of like Sculptra and Radiesse, which is going to help you build your own collagen. PRF, which is coming from your own body. So like, we take your blood, we spin it down, and we take that platelet rich plasma or fibrin and can re-inject it and produce your own collagen. We recently brought on PRF Easy Gel, which now has the capability to form into a gelatinous kind of form to give us a little bit of volume. So I think that trend that was starting to take off in 2024 is certainly going to be buzzworthy in 2025 and continue to kind of evolve as we get into the new year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that collagen stimulation and regeneration are the future. One thing Lauren didn't mention, I would say, is continuation of CO2 laser. That's like always our our biggest obsession too, is that it's a great way to do some exfoliation and stimulate collagen. So completely agree. For Lauren and I, we are really trying to be intentional about our next trainings. We have a few ideas. We definitely want to do a cadaver course. So that means like really diving into anatomy. That's something we wish we would have done even way back when. So we're looking into that over the summer. And then possibly a Europe trip for training.
Yes.
A really, really great injector. So we have some things up our sleeve. We kind of just need to sit down and discuss what we want to do, what we want to invest in. But, and, you know, I always encourage my patients, you know, whether you're my patient or just you're following me on social media, make sure you are investing in someone that is investing in you, right? Like, of course, I love learning and I love education. I love doing it with Lauren, but ultimately, like, I'm doing it to provide a better experience for my patients. And so make sure that someone, you're letting someone inject things into your face. Just make sure that you trust them and they know what they're doing and they've been educated to the best of their ability before you let them do that.
Absolutely.
I love that you guys really put a lot of thought and effort and energy into planning out what you want to offer and your trainings. And, you know, we don't come from the biggest town. It's kind of a small town. So we're kind of on the, not necessarily the cutting edge, I feel like, for a lot of things. So it really makes us feel great as a patient to know that you guys are bringing us the latest and greatest.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we want to do. And I think that that's kind of what we certainly wanted in our new kind of space, is to provide the top tier best care, not only care, but just like options for patients. As we know that Tallahassee can be a little slow, like, we don't want to fall into that trap of being slow. We always want to make sure that we are, you know, forward thinking and taking like the next step to learn, even if it's something we choose not to bring on, but just like educating ourselves and learning about it, trying it out. If it doesn't work, totally fine. Let's move on. But always making sure we can have the very best for patients.
Agreed. So we have a game we're going to play called Love It or Leave It, where we ask you guys about varying trends or products, and you tell us if you love it or could leave it and why.
So the first one, and Brandy and I are big proponents of this one, so we're curious to see if you think it actually makes a difference. Ice rollers for your face. Love it or leave it.
Love it. Yes, absolutely. I am a huge ice roller. I ice roll every single day.
Yep, me too.
And I travel with my ice roller. So like when I'm out of town, I'm bringing it along. I think it's fantastic, especially if you're acne prone, especially, you know, in the kind of summer winter months where it's really dry, or where if you are in the summer and you have a lot of rosacea or just redness, it's great for inflammation. It's inflammation, you know, is the key to all things skin related.
No.
Inflammation is the kind of trigger for acne, rosacea, aging, pigment, fine lines and wrinkles. So I feel like ice rolling, best thing that you can do.
All right, Brandy, that's our 2025. We need some travel ice rollers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Skinny Confidential just came out, you know, came out with their mint kind of tiny ice roller. It's great.
It's called the mint roller, I think.
It's
really mint roller. It. Yeah. Yeah. Our satellite space called the Blend. Rachel, one of our estheticians, provides a facial treatment called the Glacial. So it's literally ice rolling on steroids. It feels so good. Both Lauren and I have had it done. Amazing, amazing, amazing for people struggling with inflammatory or cystic acne. But then if it just, it's a different type of facial. You're like, why does this cold ball on my face feel so good?
Yes.
I feel like every morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's great.
Okay. Well, what about hyaluronic acid? Love it or leave it?
Love it.
Yeah, love it. Great. I mean, so our body's natural moisture is hyaluronic acid. Our injectables, our filler, are made of hyaluronic acid. So any addition of hyaluronic acid is great. I think that there's a little bit of a misconception of if I'm using hyaluronic acid, my skin will look amazing. And there's more products that go into that. But yeah, I love it.
All right. This next one's controversial for me because I've had two and didn't really notice a difference. So I'm curious to see what y'all think. Lip flips, love it or leave it.
I'm a proponent. Yeah. I love it.
I love it. There is going to be, so these aren't for everybody. Based on your anatomy, will it work or will it not? And then if it does work, are you okay with your lips feeling a little bit different? You're not able to drink through a straw as well. We've really, really tried to hone in on how can we get a really great lip flip and
not give you
able to drink through a straw. We've actually like gone back and forth with the amount of units, the injection technique. So we both love them. I think they're really great, especially for a gummy smile. That's a little bit different of a lip flip. But yeah, I love them. I think that they can be really great for patients. Can you deal with the inability or lack thereof of using this muscle completely? If you can't, then it's maybe not for you.
And confirm, drinking out of a straw is difficult.
It is difficult. And sometimes I think too, like when you're getting a lip flip, somebody needs to be able to look at your anatomy and say, okay, do we need to do a different injection point? Because if it's truly for a gummy smile, sometimes we need to inject a couple other areas to really give you the best benefit. I think anybody can just like pop a couple of units in the upper lip and call it a day. But there's some other things I think that sometimes we think about when we're assessing somebody's smile. And so sometimes we just have to do a little bit more in a couple of other areas.
What about under eye mask? Love it or leave it? And if love it, any particular ones?
I love them very much.
Mm-hmm. You don't love them, Lauren?
I mean, I love them when I have the time to put them on and like, sure, you know, walk around. And I don't know, though, that it would be like an absolute must for me.
Yeah, I mean, so I've tried one. They're from Barefaced. I actually really loved them. I wore them. So this isn't like normal, but I wore them for multiple hours getting ready for a wedding, for one of my best friend's weddings.
Multiple hours? That is not realistic for
Not realistic, but I swear I was like, oh my gosh, it looks like I just got filler under my eyes. But when I had done them in a normal routine, I also felt like it. The idea of them is that they're supposed to help your skincare products, your eye products,
kind of absorb better.
Yeah, or be absorbed better. But I think like a really great eye cream will do just as well. We both love Interfuse by Skin Better. It feels like you're putting silk on your eyes and it looks like you've gotten under eye filler. I love it. I recommend it to a lot of my patients. So I don't think they're bad, but I only know of a few. I did like the Barefaced ones, but yeah, we'll have to keep that discussion open and come back to you guys with a firm.
Ice rolling underneath your eyes, obviously. And this might be a little bit woo-woo, but like some lymphatic drainage and massage, I think goes a long way. Especially when it comes to the under eye area. There's so much involved when it comes to under eyes. Like, do you have under eye bags? Are you puffy in the morning? Do you have allergies? And so much of that is just stagnant lymphatics that aren't pushing fluid out. So if you do some manual lymphatic drainage, like with a Gua Sha tool or a tiny little jade roller, I think that makes a huge difference. And a ton of my patients I have do that, especially some that are kind of on the surgery train that might need to consider surgery but aren't there yet. Just some manual lymphatic drainage every single day is, I think, makes a big difference for the under eye.
Agree.
A little more beneficial than just sticking something underneath your eye. Yeah, hoping for the best.
Okay, so this next one, I know we've even talked on this episode how we love retinoids, but over-the-counter retinol serums, love it or leave it? Because do you feel like it has to be prescription?
I think leave it.
I say love it in terms of if you came to Nouveau, you could buy Alpharet, which is sort of our over-the-counter. I mean, you have to purchase it from us, but you don't have to have a prescription. So
like your Neutrogena or, Sunday Riley, I just think leave it.
Yeah.
I think that we don't We don't really know all the ingredients that are in there. I don't really know the percentage or the strength. So I find that they're not as strong. And even, you know, a prescription tretinoin, if you can tolerate it and you can train your skin to tolerate it, that's going to be cheaper than some of our options that we have.
Yeah.
And so I just think go find a provider and get a good retinoid. Leave the drugstore ones behind for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, my prescription strength tretinoin is $30. So I would say that's an over-the-counter price. And we know we're getting a true retinoid. It's going to do what we want it to do. It's going to produce collagen. It's going to increase cellular turnover. So I love a save moment. You know, we don't have to splurge on everything. But at the same time, if you're using that save product for a year and it hasn't done anything, then you've just wasted, some money and a whole lot of time.
If you're trying all the latest and greatest trends too, then you're just throwing money
exactly down
the drain. And maybe a cheaper product, but you're just buying multiple ones trying to get results.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. And then typically you're relying on in-office treatments to do the rest, and it just, you're not going to get the best results from that.
Okay, this next one. What do you guys think about the snail mucin extract? Love it or leave it?
Megan loves it.
I love it too. So.
I think it's great for moisture. It's not going to reduce hyperpigment. You know, I've seen people on TikTok that say it'll clear brown spots. It'll do this. It'll do that. You know, if you want to slap some on and then slap like a barrier cream over top, if you're feeling really dry or if it's winter, I think any extra moisture is great, but it's not going to be a magic product in a bottle that I think we see some TikTokers say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just started using it. Probably it's been a little over a year, but I just liked the feel of it. I like the moisture in it, but it's obviously not going to change my skin or anything. Right, like, but
with the miracle serum, no.
Right, yeah. Right. Exactly.
But it's also like $20.
Feel good. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kareen, that's where hyaluronic acid, I feel like, comes in. They're very similar feeling. I think that, I don't know a whole lot about snail mucin, but hyaluronic acid, at least some of the ones that we use, can truly like penetrate the skin deeper. Whereas snail mucin, I imagine, is a, when you think about chemistry of molecules, you have to think about what is small enough to be able to get through the skin. I think that nobody thinks about this until you start really like looking at product ingredients, is the skin is designed to keep things out, right? Like it's covering your whole body. It really is designed as a barrier. We have bacteria on our skin. Like it's really designed to keep all of that out from, you know, overgrowing and becoming very bad. So when you're looking at so many of these products, like a lot of the molecules are way too big to actually get through the skin. So it feels really great on the skin, but it's certainly not doing anything deeper.
All right. Last one. And I just started doing this. The beef tallow trend.
Oh, Haley.
Leave it.
Okay. Why?
So I think it's fine if you're using it on your body, right? Like, I mean, I'm not going to, but if other people want to use it on like their body for body lotion, go for it. But I've seen some horrendous acne breakouts, like inflammatory reactions, people's skin like completely freaking out. It's a huge pore clogger. It's going to, especially if you're acne prone. You know, a lot of these things like Megan and I really think about because we are both acne prone. And so, I mean, I freaking use some foundation that I haven't used in forever and like have a massive breakout, you know. But so we think a lot about pore cloggers, and beef tallow is one of the ones. The acne girlies should certainly stay away.
Yeah. And I think that's going back to how can we keep things basic? Like we know what's going to work typically. I think that's so far of an accessory product and like the weeds of TikTok that I think there's probably better and more efficient products. And yeah, we've both seen some pretty gnarly dermatitis from beef tallow. I just don't think it's meant to be on our face.
Where?
Haley, have you had
any issues?
So I have not. Okay. So one of my very best friends, her sister has a little farm, and of another family that farms that she knows has all organic grass-fed cattle. And so they started making the beef tallow, like homemade from these organic grass-fed cattle. And then she puts essential oils in it. And so they gave it to me. I struggle with severe combination skin. So at times I'm super oily, and then at other times I'm super dry. And so I will say, I think it has helped my makeup application. And I also think that it's helped with my dryness.
And so she also has very good skin. She doesn't, really good she skin. Doesn't struggle with breakouts. Like, I was like, I cannot use that.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, and obviously it sounds very sustainably sourced. And so I think that that's sometimes difficult too. When we're getting some of these products from TikTok, it's like, who actually is making this stuff?
Yeah,
in it?
Right. Yeah.
I think that's part of it too. Like, I wouldn't, honestly, I didn't even know it was a thing. Like, I would never go out and buy it, but I was literally at her house and she was like, hey, here's a condiment container of it. Like, I want you to try it. Like, am I going to go pay for it? No. Am I going to use it because I like it and it's free? Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to slathering it all over my body. I'm a huge body care girl. Like, I live in lotion and everything. I do body oil. I do like a reparative lotion. I do like a smell good lotion. I'm like three layers deep over here all the time. So I
would can find you underneath the lotions at night.
Yes. Yes.
In her bathtub.
Yeah.
In my bathtub. Great. Yes. I'm a bath girly and a lotion girly. So
I think at the end of the day, you want to find what works for you, you know, as people in medicine. I don't think that would be like the first thing we would recommend naturally.
Sure.
But if my patient comes in and they have flawless skin and they're telling me they use, you know,
baby cream
and you know, like, then I'm like, well, okay. You know, like,
good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we definitely want to keep things easy for patients, for, hey, you know, for you, Haley, like, if it's working and not causing issues, then okay, you know, but most commonly, usually would like, if you had combination skin, I would recommend some other things.
Sure. And for me too, with that, right, like for combination, like, am I going to use it in the summer when I'm oily? Probably not. Well, that's all we had, but this has been so fun and so informative, and we just appreciate y'all coming on and chatting with us.
Yes, this was so fun. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
We love to talk about all the things that we do and all the things that we love. So this has been a very fun conversation, and hopefully everybody kind of like got to learn a few things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
It's always changing. So like, catch us in 3 months and, you know, something will be new and have changed.
Could be hopping aboard the beef tallow train.
We'll see how Haley's skin is doing.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll do a 3 month update.
Let's absolutely.
I love that. Yeah, thank you guys for having us. We had a blast. We love talking all things aesthetic. So thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks, guys.